Summer is here. Three weeks later, who knows? I had a great camp meeting experience. My girls love camp meeting. It's running around. There's like hundreds of kids. They're in paradise. And we were a little bit tired coming back. But it's good to be back here. I want to say a quick word of prayer. Father, I want to ask that you would just be here and help us learn to love you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick question. Well, no, I should say this first. The team that makes PMC run is amazing. From the deacons to the elders to the AV to the audio to the music, we are blessed to be in this congregation. Amen. And so, one thing that I have realized is that meals can be memorable. Now, think about a time when you had an experience where you remember. So, our family before kids had a tradition, and this tradition, every spring break, we would look for the warmest possible spot, and we would go backpacking. And so we went to California one spring break, and it was a drought year, so we could go to the mountains. They said the snow level was at 8,000 feet, and I think they kind of underestimated the snow, underestimated the snow. And so we went to Wawona. Does anyone know where Wawona is? Where is Wawona? In Yosemite. Beautiful spot for a Seventh-day Adventist summer camp. We started in Wawona. We went up the waterfalls there. We didn't climb the waterfalls. There's a trail next to it. And so we got to the top there. We camped out. And we're going to Buena Vista Peak. And Buena Vista Peak, that's about 8,000, 9,000 feet. And as we're getting closer to 6,500 feet, we started seeing snow patches. Spring snow in the mountains is deceptive because it seems to be having a hard, crusty exterior. And then as you put your full weight on it, what happens? And so you start what they call it post-hole digging or post-holing. And Emily is a little bit lighter than me, so she didn't do it as often. But like every step, I'd go down 2 feet, 2.5 feet. And so we were tired. And as we got to 7,000 feet, 7,500 feet, we're looking for a campsite near Buena Vista Lake, and there is great fields of snow before us. So we got together and we prayed a little bit, and we prayed, Lord, give us a dry spot, a flat spot, and a place where we could have a fire. And so what happens is God granted that prayer. We got our tent up. We got a fire ring going. We got a fire lit. But we were hungry. And Emily, when she goes backpacking, I get the privilege of eating home-cooked meals. So she cooks everything at home. She dehydrates it. And then we just simply rehydrate it, and we have a home-cooked meal. I'm telling you what, that meal, Lost Cowboy Chili, It was good. I remember, I don't remember all that hike, but I remember that campsite. I remember sitting around that campfire. I remember holding that bowl of hot chili, and it was good. So meals have a way of doing something incredible. When people eat together, they eat the same thing. They're enjoying the same flavors. There's this like binding element in the social connections of people that meals do to, like, it just happens. Another experience with meals, I was working in Melbourne, Australia at a university there, and there's a church called Gateway Adventist Center, and they do small groups. They call them care groups. And in these care groups, they follow the simple formula of Acts chapter 4, verse 42. They look at the apostles' doctrine or Bible study. They fellowship with one another. They pray and they break bread together. They have meals together. This church at that time really focused on working with Asian students who were coming abroad to Australia, and they would have Friday night Bible studies and meals. These people coming over, these students coming over to the university, they leave their family, they leave their traditions, but they provide meals for them. And what happens is you start feeling connected. There's a study that took place, and it shows that when you're in negotiations, when meals are involved, it's easier to find a resolution to that negotiation when meals are not involved. Why? Because meals, when you eat together, not just binds you together, but creates a trusting relationship that takes place. So this church, amen. The tech just worked. Amen. And so this church provided these meals, and these students coming from diverse backgrounds enjoyed Christian company. And this church grew and grew. When I was there in 2006, they were on their second church plant. The church started in 2003. Now they're on their fifth church plant. There's something powerful about eating together. A study in UK said that 70% of the people that they tested or they surveyed agreed that sharing meals is a wonderful idea. But they ate only together one third of the time. Why is that? Because we're so busy. It's really important to eat meals together. And so this is, I think second service, this will be a little bit more tempting, right? This is a meal. What is it? What is in the meal? You see broccoli. You see, what's that? Pasta salad, all right? And that's a sandwich. What's in the sandwich? Tomatoes, lettuce. What else? Okay, we don't got vegans in the house. All right. And so, yeah, the meal. There's something powerful about the meal that takes place. They did a study in British Columbia about students at the university there, and they looked at students who ate meals together, who consistently ate meals together. They found that those students had healthier eating habits just by eating meals consistently together. Second thing they found is that they had better social connectivity. They didn't feel as lonely as those students who didn't eat meals together. Third thing they found is they performed better academically. It's crazy. Neglecting study time to eat in a social setting actually helps the brain process, and you become better equipped to take psych exams or Greek exams, right? Give me an amen over there in the corner. There we go. And so, like, eating meals, like, it's powerful. So what happens? Better relationships when we eat meals together. We have more resilience when it comes to mental health. It helps our mental capacity to just be in a better state of mind. Communication happens. You know all the beautiful things that you share at the meal, healthier habits, and you form community. Shared meals are amazing. I think Jesus understood the value of eating together. And so I want to ask you a little bit, how many times did Jesus eat with people in the Gospels? I don't actually have the exact quote or the exact number, but this brainstorm all the times you remember a story where Jesus is eating with people. Okay? We're going to do a little quiz here. You ready for the quiz? What is the first one? Whoa. Okay, let's see if we got it. There we go. Okay. Let's see if you're right. Turning water into. That's right. Second one. These are Jacob's top 10 Jesus eating moments. All right? So you got one. What's the second one? Okay, what's that? Who collected coins for the Roman government? Yes. That's what that represents. Remember Matthew Levi had a feast, and what did Jesus say? Wait a minute. No, what did the scribe say? Yeah, he says, and the scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Okay, so let's go to the next one. Next one. This is Luke 7, eating with Simon. Remember that? And then we have this one. Is that 5,000 or 4,000? Count, it's 5,000, that's right. And then we have in Luke, I believe it's 11, he's eating with a more experienced Pharisee. All right, let's go to this one. What's this one? Hey, good. 4,000, that's right. And then we have this one right here. Wait a minute, oh, okay. This one. No, I lied. This one. What's that one? When Jesus' feet were anointed, what was that dinner occasion? Lazarus was raised, and then he had a dinner. And this is where that happened. And this one? The Last Supper, that's right. And then I gave you a sneak peek over here. Road to Emmaus. That's right. And then we have this one. The fish fry at the beach. That's right. So I want to go over a couple things here. So every time Jesus ate, he always brought a key. Yeah, he experienced the bind, like the togetherness. He wanted to be bound with his people. Yes, he wanted that, but he wanted to bring something more. Yes, he wanted to have a trusting relationship with those who he ate with, but he wanted to bring something more to the table. And so every time Jesus eats with people, he reveals a little bit about himself and the kingdom of God. Okay, so what's this one again? What did he reveal? In John chapter 2, it says he revealed glory. He's the revealer of glory. Okay, what about the dinner with Matthew Levi? What did he reveal there? We already read it. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. What did he reveal? He revealed that he was a friend of sinners. And then we go to the next one, Simon. Remember that one? He revealed that he was a forgiver of sins. And then the feeding of 5,000, he revealed that he was the bread of life. And then we move to the leader, or the older Pharisee. He revealed that he was a holy judge because he could read the human heart. Question for you New Testament scholars. What's the theological difference between the feeding of 5,000 and the feeding of 4,000? Whoa. Yeah. 7 points. Extra dessert to you. So the location of the feeding of 5,000 really catered to the Hebrews or the Jews. And the feeding of the 4,000 was in a location that catered to the nations, or the Gentiles. He was compassionate. He was a compassionate one to all the world. What did he reveal? What did he reveal here at the anointing of his feet at that dinner where Mary anointed his feet? He revealed that he's worthy of worship. What did he reveal at the Last Supper? I mean, there's so much. There's so much that he revealed at the Last Supper. But if we just said one word, he is our Savior. And then, when we look at the road to Emmaus, He revealed that he's our risen Lord. And then, at that fish fry, he restored Peter's relationship and connection to the disciples and the kingdom. He's our restorer. So what key did Jesus bring to the table? He revealed glory. And it was for sinners that he revealed glory, so that they would want forgiveness of sins and be nourished by the bread of life, because we have a holy judge that looks at our hearts and sees who we are, and he wants us to be in a closer relationship with him, because he's the compassionate one, not only for one sect of people, not for one religious group, but for all mankind, all the world. And he is worthy to worship because he's our Savior. And the reason why he's our Savior is because he came back from the dead and he restores our relationship with him. Is Jesus worthy? Amen. Amen. And so I was thinking a little bit about if Jesus uses the meal as a beautiful platform to reveal himself, why not? Why can't we be like him? So let's go to Matthew 24. We're gonna take a little creativity to Matthew 24. Normally, when I go to Matthew 24, I always I did Bible work for many years. I was in Australia doing Bible work, and normally, when you go to Matthew 24, what do you show in Matthew 24? What is Matthew 24 all about? Say it loud. Signs of the times, the end of the world, right? What? I started to realize Matthew 24 is about ministry opportunities. So you, when you read it through, you see three times there's going to be deceivers. The ministry opportunity there is to share the truth to the world. And then I see there's wars and rumors of war. That's a ministry opportunity to bring aid to people who are suffering. When I see earthquakes and hurricanes and natural disasters, that is a ministry opportunity to help people who are suffering. And we have that in Venezuela right now. It's a ministry opportunity. And then when I read in Matthew 24, verse 36, but as the days of Noah were, so here's Jesus. I captured the moment. Here he is saying that the day nor hour, you know, he's talking to the disciples on what? Which mountain? The Mount of Olives. There he is. See him right there chatting. And then he talks about Noah. This is a custom image. That's exactly what the boat looked like. Identical. See, it has... I didn't do the door. Man, I didn't do the door. There's one door. It's too big. Too big. Okay, we got to have a door there. It's closed, right? There's the door. Is that better? So much better. So, focus, okay. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38, ministry opportunity. You ready for this? For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Until when? Noah entered the ark. In Noah's day, that was probation was closed. They ate and drank until probation was closed. If meals are a powerful witness, an evangelistic tool, there's a key to reveal the glory and forgiveness and compassionate Savior Jesus Christ. If people are going to be eating and drinking until Jesus comes, we have an incredible opportunity. And what is that? Invite people to your house. They're going to be eating and drinking until Jesus comes back. Why not invite them to your house? So that you can bring, they're going to be eating and drinking, so that you can bring the key to the kingdom of God. Now, I have a dream. What if we start practicing bringing a key to the table? Do you do it with your friends and family? Do you reveal the goodness of Jesus at the dinner table with your friends and family. Start there. Then be so bold and invite some people from church to your house to eat and reveal the key there. And then go to the highways and byways and find people that you can invite to your house for a meal and reveal the key of the kingdom to them. Amen? Very simple. And so we know they're going to be eating and drinking until kingdom come. Why not eat with us? We're going to prepare ourselves to eat with Jesus at the Lord's Supper here. So I want to, how we prepare ourselves is we go through a preparation of washing. Yes, we go to separate rooms and we wash. We have a foot washing. We serve one another. And that is to prepare our hearts to receive more of Jesus. The more of Jesus you have, the more you're able to handle the key at a dinner table in the future. God the Father, bless us as we are renewed in your sight. Lord, this next week, we ask that you would give us the ability to bring the key to all our meals as we share them with people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.